If you will, turn to Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to talk to you this morning about prophecy versus mystery. And see if we can't see some things that will help us understand why we are to study and not just pay attention to what man says about the Bible, but what God says about himself. If you will, go on in prayer, please. Father, we thank you for the time we have here this morning that we can study your word and to fellowship around it. And we ask you, Lord, to be with us as we open your word and to look into it and see the things that you have for us. And Father, give us the ability to accept the things that you say and believe you mean what you say. And Father, we ask you this morning especially be with those that are sick. We ask you to comfort these people. And Father, we ask you to get honor and glory to yourself in this class. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And by the way, before I go too far in this morning, mystery is something that's kept secret. Something that's a mystery is being hid. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. And that is not perfect in the flesh, that's perfect in salvation only. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have been in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Now you'll notice that's a capital S. That is the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, if you have the Spirit of God in you, you can know the things of God. You can know the spiritual things in a King James Bible. Now verse 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Well, do we have the mind of Christ? What was the mind of Christ? To do the will of God the Father. In other words, before the foundation of the world, we'll say that's the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world, God Almighty knew that his Son would come down here as the King of Israel, and that is prophesied in the Old Testament. In other words, you have prophecy back here, you have mystery here, you have prophecy over here being fulfilled. It was prophesied back here and in here. Jesus Christ himself was a prophet. Now, where is the first prophecy in your Bible?
Seed.
About any of this? Y'all got any idea?
Genesis.
Before we go to Genesis chapter 3, I want you to look at Romans chapter 12. Now, mystery concerns a body. Now, in Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, we have the mind of Christ. You understand? So how does Christ think when he's here on this earth? He said over and over and over, not my will, but thy will. Well, what is my will? Not my will, but God's will. What would God have been to see today? This mystery over here. God does not operate in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John today, nor in the book of Acts today. If you operate or get your doctrine out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts, you are in error. In other words, those in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, that first trusted in Christ, that Paul went to and told them that Christ appeared unto him and told him that he had died for their sins, and that is the very first thing that Paul preached in Acts chapter 13. Y'all know what Paul, well, I'll tell you what, the whole Romans 12, go to Acts 13, it won't take but a couple of verses. Then right after Paul's name is changed from Saul to Paul. Paul is an apostle to the Gentiles. Paul has preached to Israel their history. Now come to verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus Christ, a man, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Paul did not say remission of sins. Jesus Christ and the 12 preached remission of sins. Paul preached forgiveness of sins to those who first trusted in Christ. Now watch what he says. Verse 38, be it known therefore unto you men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now listen to me. We'll get to this prophecy in just a minute in Genesis, but I've got to show you something here in the book of Galatians about what Paul said right here. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Liberty from what? The law. Why? He told them in Acts 13, 38 and 39, you can be justified by this man by which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Did Jesus Christ teach the law while he was here on this earth? Well, he certainly did. Is Paul preaching the law over here? No, he is not. Paul said, but now the righteousness of God without the law. Now, watch what he says here. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Now watch what he says. Christ has become of none effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Now listen, if they are trying to be justified by the law, they are not under grace. They are fallen from grace. He did not say if you drink this or eat that or eat a pork chop or catfish, you know you ain't supposed to eat catfish. God said you couldn't eat nothing that didn't have scales. Catfish ain't got scales. So if you're trying to abstain from them things, you're falling from grace. You're trying to be justified by keeping the law. Now, go back to Romans chapter 12 and take Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. You see, prophecy concerns a kingdom with a king. Mystery concerns a body with a head, not a king. You understand? Now, Romans 12, verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Is there a body of believers that Paul's writing to that first trusted in Christ? That's a body. Okay? The mystery is about a body. Prophecy is about a kingdom. Now go to Genesis chapter 3. The first prophecy about the Lord Jesus Christ you will find in Genesis chapter 3. And this is right after Eve has been deceived, and she's caused her husband to disobey God. Now the Lord's talking to Satan. Now verse 15, I will put enmity between thee, that's Satan, and the woman, Eve, and between thy seed and her seed. Well, Cain is from the seed of Satan. Not born of Satan. Don't get it confused. Satan has entered into Cain. Jealousy caused Cain to kill Abel. You understand? Cain, according to the book of Jude, is of that wicked one. And I know a man, and a lot of y'all would know him if I called his name, which I will not, said that Satan and Eve had an affair, and therefore came Cain, because of what Jude said, Cain is of that wicked one. But listen to me. If you're sitting here and you're not saved, you are of that wicked one. You understand? Why? You either have the Spirit of God in you to bear witness with His Spirit, or you have the Spirit of Satan in you and you're going to bear witness with His Spirit, as Jesus Christ told them in the book of John, you are of your father the devil. He was a liar from the beginning and the father of it. Do y'all know the first thing that Satan did to Eve? He lied to her. Put a doubt in her mind. You know what the pastors and the teachers and the television people are doing today? They're putting a doubt in people's minds today. Just like I watched Jack Van Ampen this morning, got us over here in the book of Revelation. We are not in the book of Revelation. And Jack Van Ampen can probably quote the Bible. but he doesn't have any spiritual discernment. The church, the body of Christ, when it's full, we're going to be raptured out. The Lord will deal with Israel in the time of Israel's trouble, called time of Jacob's trouble, in the tribulation. It'll be a 7-year period over here, 3.5 good years and 3.5 bad years. Now, this back here is prophecy. Now watch what it says. Verse 15, Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, come over to Galatians chapter 3. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Let's see who this seed is. Now you can trace Jesus Christ's seed from Eve on down to this birth. It's prophesied. Where he'd be born, when he'd be born, and how he'd be born. In Galatians 3, go to verse 15. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet, if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth, nor addeth thereunto. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Now, listen. Were there promises made to Abraham and his seed? Abraham is to call the Hebrew. You understand? Genesis 14, you'll find Abraham the Hebrew. He said, not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Is Christ the seed? That's the promise back here. Now, go to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Beloved, you can read prophecy till hell freezes over, and you will not find anything in prophecy about the body of Christ, the church which is his body. Now, you'll find the book of Hebrews chapter 3, that Moses was in that church in the wilderness back here, talking about him and the Lord Jesus Christ in Hebrews chapter 3, about a house back here, which was a house back here, but this is a body, not a house, a body. A house ain't a body, and a body ain't a house. That's why Paul said in Romans 12, we have many members in one body. Got a lot of members in our body, but one body. So also is Christ. In other words, this body, which is Christ's body, is filled up with many members that believe that when Christ died at Calvary, he paid for all their sins, and those are the only ones that's in this body. Now, there are a lot of people in the church, but everybody in the church ain't in the body. You understand? Only those that believe. That's why Paul, when he wrote to Timothy over here, he said, God's the Savior of all men, comma, especially those that believe. Is God the Savior of all men? To who? Those that believe. Believe what? Well, I believe it's daylight out there. Well, that's what Satan wants you to believe. That's why in Acts chapter 8, he took out the most important verse in the chapter there. Philip dealing with the eunuch, and he said, if thou believest, thou mayest. He told him about being baptized. He said, I believe. He said, what do you believe? And I'm paraphrasing. You can go back and read it. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he stopped the chariot and went down and baptized him. You know what Satan does in his translation? He leaves the whole verse out, and he goes from verse 36 to 38. He can't even count. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15, God dealing with Moses. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. Verse 18, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, like unto Moses. Moses was a deliverer. I will put my words in his mouth. He shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. It shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak. Now pay attention to what he's saying. Or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. Well, people better thank God that they live in grace today. Because if they lived in the law today, open your mouth wrong that God said this and he didn't say it, zap, boom, they'd carry you out. Dead. God would zap you. But they live in grace, just like we do. Now, what about this prophet here? Let's see if we can find out who this prophet is that Deuteronomy is talking about here. Moses is talking about in the book of Deuteronomy. Go to Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 7. Acts 3, Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Peter is preaching to Israel. There are no Gentiles involved in Acts 3. There are no women involved in Acts 3. It's all men, Jews. Now, amongst thy brethren, y'all know who Jesus Christ's brethren were? They were Jews. Now, verse 19, Peter preaching to Israel, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so the times of refreshing shall come from the brethren. You see, that's what Satan does with his new book. His new translation changes the word when to so. In other words, you see the signs all over the country. 2 Chronicles 7. Chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, would pray, then I would come and heal their land. No, it won't. You're not called by the name of Jehovah. You understand? These people here, what they believe? On the name of the Son of God. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Matthew 16, 13. Peter asked the question from God. Jesus Christ, God the Father, manifest in the flesh, asked Peter, whom the men say that I am? Some say thou art Jeremiah, the prophet, or some other prophet, but whom say ye that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know what Jesus Christ told them? Blessed are thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Why do you think Paul wrote to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 not to pay attention to the wisdom of men? You know why? The wisdom of men is against the wisdom of God. It's contrary to the word of God. Now, Acts 13, Acts 3, verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. In other words, when Jesus Christ comes again over here, Israel's sins will be taken care of. I was already taken care of. Mystery. We've now received the atonement, not reconciliation. Atonement is atonement. Verse 20. And he shall send Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus Christ has already been sent, hasn't he? He's going to send Jesus Christ again at the second coming. Not the rapture. This is second coming. He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the time of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Hold the fort. Got a problem here now. Did not we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that Paul said, I speak the wisdom of God in the mystery which had been hid from the foundation of the world? Well, the prophets didn't know nothing about what Paul's preaching then, did they? Look at the verse again. Look at it. Acts chapter 3. Verse 21. Whom the heaven must receive, Jesus Christ. In other words, they said, we'll have no king but Caesar. They crucified him. God raised him from the dead. And he was seated now at the right hand of God the Father. The body of Christ went up. AD 33. We're seated at the throne room of God the Father in Christ. So the heaven had to receive him until the times of restitution of all things. That will go all the way to the end of Revelation's second coming. Over here, the kingdom comes down into to the earth. He brings this kingdom down, kingdom of heaven. First mentioned in Matthew chapter 3. We're not involved in the kingdom of heaven. We're involved in the kingdom of his dear son. Why? Because we are members of his body. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 30. We are members of his flesh and of his bone. Now, watch what he says here. Verse 21, whom the heaven must receive until the time of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So this has been spoken from day one about this man right here, Jesus Christ, the man that's coming into the world like Moses was sent to the children of Israel to deliver them out of bondage. Jesus Christ was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel to deliver them out of bondage. You know who they were in bondage to back here? Rome. Rome was in power when Jesus Christ came. Y'all know what's in Rome? The mother church. Man, the mother of harlots? Revelation 17. Check it out. Verse 22. Acts 3:22. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you. Who is he talking to? Jews. Jesus Christ wasn't sent to me and you. He was sent to Israel. Of your brethren, like unto me, him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass. Now he's quoting out of what Deuteronomy 18 said. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Now, go to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. And I'm going to go to verse 34, the Lord talking. I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt. That's Israel. I have heard their groaning and come down to deliver them. And now, come, I will send thee unto Egypt. He's talking to Moses. God dealing with Moses here now. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared unto them in the bush. He brought them out. After that, he had shown wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses. which said unto the children of Israel. Now you can't miss this. A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness. Now, I know the angel appeared to Moses back here and said, you're going to be a deliverer. You're going to bring my people out here. Tell Pharaoh, let my son go. You understand? My son, here's his son. Jesus Christ was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel according to prophecy. This is mystery, not involved in prophecy. This is prophecy. Now, go to John. Give me a minute. I'll think of John 7. In John chapter 7. Look in verse, go to verse 14. Now, about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews, you know, I can't understand how anybody can read the book of John and tell a Christian today, a new saved individual, that the first thing he ought to do is read the book of John. I knew a preacher, he's dead now, that he told many of them, I heard him tell many of them, said the first thing you ought to do is read the book of John. Why? You know the first thing you ought to do? Read the book of Romans. Why? It's first. It ain't the first book that Paul wrote, but it's first. You know why? There's where your doctrine is. Doctrine of justification, reconciliation, forgiveness.
Right.
All things right here. You don't find that in the book of John. Y'all know where it's at. You better know. If I come around and ask each individual, I won't do it. But if I do, you better know how to tell me. Do you know how many times the word Gentile is in the book of John?
What, two
times. Do you know where it's at? In the book of John, chapter 7, the question is, Jesus Christ had told these people, I'm going away, and where I go, you can't come. And in their mind, they talking one another and say, is he going over there and teach the dispersed, the Gentiles? And you know why they said we can't go there? He done commanded them, go not in the way of the Gentiles. Beloved, the book of John ain't written to Gentiles. It's written to Jews. Now, go back to verse 14. Now, about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up to the temple and taught, and the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Did Jesus Christ, was he sent to Israel? Go to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Go ahead and take John 19 while you're in the book of John. Go ahead and take John 19. Now, Matthew 21. Verse 1. Matthew 21, verse 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage and the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying to them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them, bring them unto me. If any man say aught unto you, shall say, the Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. All this was done. Now watch what it says. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, it's the prophet has said something that's being fulfilled. What did he say? Verse 5. Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, meek, sitting upon the ass, the colt, the foal of an ass. Who prophesied that? Come on, people. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Zechariah the prophet did not prophesy about the church, the body of Christ. He prophesied about the king coming. Thy king cometh. How could they recognize him? He's riding on an ass, the colt, the foal of an ass. Any of y'all ever watch cowboy movies? I love them. That's the only kind. And they ain't making no good ones no more. There ain't no good actors around no more. They all sissified. Well, anyway, what do they have to do to a wild?
Break them.
They have to break them. Do y'all know Jesus Christ got on the back of that wild ass and that thing just... Your people don't understand who Jesus Christ is. That's why they didn't understand it when he calmed that hurricane. Peace. Be still. Immediately, they stopped. It was a great calm. The Creator of heaven and earth came down here because of me and you. And the rest of
this guy back here.
That's the sorest thing in. Besides me, that's the next sorest thing in here.
I have to agree with it.
We was talking about that before class, how sorry we were. That Jesus Christ, I thank God that he came down here.
Amen.
And I thank God Israel rejected him. But you know what? Every bit of that was based on God's foreknowledge. You know what? Unbeknownst to me and you and anybody in the world, God already knows the day of the rapture, right? He's already seen it. It's already took place in AD 33. And every member that God foreknew that would trust Christ as their Savior, God resurrected in AD 33 before they ever were. And if you don't believe that, I challenge you and prayerfully study Psalms 139, along with Ephesians chapter 1, something that was wrought in Christ when he was raised from the dead before they ever were. You'll find that in Psalms 139. All my members were written in a book before they ever were. Before I was ever born, before my mom and daddy were ever even born, before my grandpa was even born, or his mom and daddy, I was on the mind of God before the foundation of the world, and this mystery was hid in God until revealed to the Apostle Paul that people such as me and you that are not in the covenants of promise and no way to get to God, Israel is lo am not. God foreknew us before the foundation of the world. We also were resurrected with those who first trusted in Christ. You can't beat that.
No,
ain't no way. There ain't nowhere in the world you can go. You could have trillions of dollars and you still couldn't beat that right there. Couldn't beat it.
Amen.
But someday, you're going to leave here and like they said, naked I came into the world, naked I'm leaving. That's what old Job knew. Said, I brought nothing into the world. I ain't taking nothing with me when I leave. Matthew 21, verse 5. Tell ye the daughter of Zion, that's Israel, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, sitting upon an ass, the colt, the foal of an ass. Go to John chapter 19. Jesus Christ has been tried. Verse 13. John 19, verse 13. Then Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth, sat down in the judgment seat in the place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was a preparation of the Passover. And about the sixth hour, he said to the Jews, behold your king. He didn't say to the Jew and Gentile, did he? Jews. Behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, away with him. Crucify him. Pilate said to them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. They didn't accept him, did they? And you know what? People won't accept the word of God rightly divided today. They'll accept it all jumbled up. Y'all remember you read a verse back there that all that will not listen to Jesus Christ, this prophet, will die? Go to Jeremiah chapter 23. I'm just going to read at random in Jeremiah chapter 23, but I want to start in verse 1. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the prophets that feed my people. Well, my people is Israel. Anytime you see in a 1611 King James Bible, my people, it's always a reference to Israel, not the church of God, your prophet. Ye have scattered my flock, driven them away. I have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord, and I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries wherever I have driven them, and will bring them again to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and increase, and I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, neither be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. That's over here after the second coming. You understand? They're scattered. The Lord's going to bring them over here. Hosea chapter 2, 3, 4, along in there, you all study it. The Lord's going to bring them back into their own land someday over here. Don't need Haiti to do it for them. God's got ways of getting them back for himself. Now, in chapter 23, come over to verse 14. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doeth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Come down to the verse 20. The anger of the Lord will not return until he hath executed, until he hath performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly. And that'll be over here, the tribulation. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. Boy, I can see that all, especially old stupid Richard Roberts. He'll be reading something about somebody getting a new hip or a new heart, or God just give you a new bladder or a new lung. And he said, thank you, Lord. And he turned around and said, the Lord just told me somebody got a new knee. The Lord didn't speak to that man, a man lied. But you know what he's doing? He's fleecing the flock. Stealing their money. Verse 21, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Verse 25, I have heard what the prophet said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. Watch out for them dreams. Verse 26, how long will this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams. which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath dream, let him tell the dream. He that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the shaft of the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophet, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. In other words, he's lying to him. Behold, I am against the prophet, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Be careful. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not. Now listen to me. You can mark it down. I don't care whether you like me or not. You go to a Catholic, and they go in there and they confess their sins to an old low-down sinner that's probably worse than they are. And oh yeah, you're forgiven. Can that priest forgive sins? No, he cannot. Who can forgive sins? God Almighty, through the death of Jesus Christ, is the only person that can forgive anybody's sins. The blood of bulls and goats couldn't take away their sins. Neither can your works take away your sins today. Only those that believe that Jesus Christ died for their sins have their sins taken away. Now, if somebody's lying to you, you better run and get away from them. Now, verse 32, behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness, yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. I wish people could get a grip on this. There's no profit in going to an assembly where they don't preach the truth of the Word of God. They don't follow Paul's epistle. What profit is it? None. Now, one last thing. Well, I say one last thing. It may be several things. Go over to Ephesians and take Ephesians chapter 1. Prophecy concerns a kingdom and a king. In Matthew 21, we're not going to turn back there, but the kingdom was taken from Israel. Acts chapter 1, the disciples asked the Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? The kingdom is not for the church, the body of Christ. That's why the prayer in Matthew chapter 6, thy kingdom come. They're looking for the kingdom to come over here after the tribulation. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, the mystery is about a body. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. What fills up his body? The members. Who are the members? According to verse 19, those that believe. Believe what? Believe the truth. Not a lie. You can believe a lie and be damned and go to hell. You know, and I watched Joel Osteen this morning. Oh, sorry, crooked thing. He's low down. He's lying in the name of... You know what he told them people? At the last of his message, he told them people, make Jesus the Lord of your life. Now, would you pray this prayer with me? Lord, I repent of my sins. You know what he is telling them people to do? He's telling them people to believe that Jesus Christ, when he died at Calvary, did not do enough to pay for their sins. Now they got to repent of their sins that Jesus Christ died for.
Amen.
That's a crook. I don't care how much money he's got or how many people he's got in his audience. He's a crook. God said he ain't going to live. Someday, he's going to face judgment. And if he believes that for salvation, he's going to bust hell wide open. Because Paul said, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. I want you to take two passages. I want you to take 2 Peter and Luke 24. Luke 24. Second Peter, chapter 3. I believe that was it. Now, in Luke 24, this is after Jesus Christ has been crucified and resurrected. Talk about prophecy. Verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the, you can find them in verse 33, that's the 11 apostles. He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Well, I'd be a nut to tell you that he made them understand the church, the body of Christ. Because it ain't been written down yet. Paul don't know nothing about it yet. The prophets didn't know anything about it. Had they known it, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord. Verse 46, he said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and forgiveness of sin. There I go again. That repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. And he tells them how. But in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, did he tell them that they had forgiveness of sins? No, they got remission. They get forgiveness at the second coming. Those that endure to the end. That's what Jesus Christ has prophesied to them over and over in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. They got to resist the mark of the beast. They didn't know anything about this time in here. They thought this right here would come soon, right after probably Acts 10. Somewhere along in there. Now, 2 Peter. Let's see if we can find these people. 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Well, I know it ain't written to me. It's written for me, but not to me. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? That's not the rapture. That's the second coming. Repent you therefore. Acts 3:19, repent you therefore. Be converted. That your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come to the presence of the Lord, and he, the Lord, shall send Jesus Christ after the tribulation. Now, verse 5. For this they willing are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens which are of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. Now watch what it says. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Same as he told them in Luke 24, preach this among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. But do you know what they remembered, which sometimes preachers don't even know today? Y'all know what he told them in Matthew 10? You shall not have gone over the cities of Jerusalem until the Son of Man be come. They're going to begin, Acts 1, it's told them how to go, beginning at Jerusalem, then Samaria, then the othermost parts of the world. But they're not going to get over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. They ain't got anything to do with us. Mystery is a body. Prophecy has to do with the kingdom. The king is going to come over here. Now, I lied to you, and we didn't start by that time of coming so long. Take Revelation while you're back here. Chapter 20. Let me show you something. What did I tell y'all? Chapter 20, I'm on chapter 19. I'm looking at the top of the page, and that's, I shouldn't do that. Revelation chapter 19. Verse 11, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he had set upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doeth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. In other words, that word dipped there is identified like in water baptism, being identified with the Lord, in believer's baptism, which is misused today. Verse 13, he was clothed with the vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. You can find that in John 1:14. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, Israel, his brethren. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he shall smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, one last thing. I promise you, I'll quit now. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. I think that's it. If I'm wrong, we'll quit in it. 1 Timothy. Yes. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed in good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a rapture. Which in his times, you see that word times? He's got more than one time. He's already had one time. He's already come to Israel. When they rejected him, they will have no king. Well, he's going to appear for the church, the body of Christ, at the rapture. And then he's got a time over here at the second coming, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed, the only potentate, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who only, get a grip on this, who only dwelleth in the light, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Are there anybody up there with him? Awake. I'll use that term. They're up there. I'm up there with him, but I'm asleep. More or less. Unconscious, like. Judicially. I'm already resurrected with him. He's got a body up there waiting on me so he can change this vile body where I can live where he's at. You can't go where he's at in this body. No man hath ascended to heaven, John 3:13. But he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Appreciate you being here this morning. My time's up.